This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Naked Marriage Podcast, where we undress the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and we're so excited that you're joining us. We've got such an important topic today, talking about sex after kids. There's going to be a lot of laughter. I know this is a serious issue. We're going to talk about the serious stuff, but there will be a lot of laughter along the way. But before we get into it, I want to give a quick shout out to some of the people who've given a shout out to us, because when you leave a review about this podcast on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast, it helps other people discover it. And we are so thankful for your kind reviews. So Ashley's going to read a few of the recent 5-star reviews, and thank you for these.
Yeah, this is from Gracefully Broken. It says, I just started listening to this podcast and can't get enough. My marriage is in the beginning of a healing stage after some major heartache, and listening to Dave and Ashley has been comforting and encouraging. We love that. Thank you for sharing that.
That's so good.
And this is from GBCB Dave. It says, whatever point you are in your marriage, you owe it to you and your spouse to check out this podcast. So much wisdom, insight, and inspiration in a matter of 30 minutes. I started reading their book as well and can't put it down. Keep up the great work. Hashtag worth the binge listen.
Oh,
I love
thanks
that.
Thanks for listening and so for cool. reading. And of course, now you can listen to the book too. The Naked Marriage is also available as an audiobook.
Yes.
So thank you guys for those reviews. That means so much. So sweetie, you excited to dive into this topic?
I really am. And just to let you know, we're going to be honest as we usually are, but we really go there and we share our own personal stories about, you know, how to get back the passion and how to make sex priority after having babies. And so let's dive in.
And we laugh a lot.
We do.
Let's have fun.
You know, this is such an important topic that we're discussing today. And it's one that Dave and I completely relate to.
So important. Yes. Because
oh my goodness.
All of our sex is sex after kids.
That's
right. It has been for a long time. So we can relate to this, but this is a real thing. And just being able to talk about it in a very, very unfiltered way, honest way. This is just an honest, open, judgment-free conversation zone here. Because I think a lot of times we don't know where to turn. You know, who are you going to call when you have that first kid and you're having maybe sexual struggles? And it's a real awkward conversation to have with your mom or somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, you know, maybe you have that kind of relationship where you can. But we just want to, we want to talk about it. Because we've been there through a variety of different things that have kind of created some uneasiness or some, I don't even know what all the words are related to sex after kids. And yeah, and so we've had four. We've got four little boys. I mean, I say we. Ashley did all the work.
Joint effort.
You women are so much tougher than men. I was there live for the birth of all four boys, you know, right there watching them make their debut. And I'm telling you, there is no man on earth that is tough enough to do what you ladies do. I'm just in awe.
It's so sweet. Like for those of you who have kids, I know you remember those times, like when you were giving birth or having a C-section, all the different, you know, details we remember. Usually we don't remember the bad things, which is great. I think it's God's way of saying, hey, you may want to have another
right,
one.
Yeah, you just forget about the
you know,
the
you
pain.
Do. And it's like, you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, all the different stories. And I just think about Dave smiling. Like he was, even though I know a lot of people, men and women, it's very like overwhelming to witness that. And it can be like traumatizing because there's so much at stake and you just want to make sure everything goes okay. And the doctors are doing what they do well and nurses are doing what they do well. But I just remember, you know, Dave giving me the thumbs up and saying, you're doing so good and smiling. It was
so
like
good.
The sweetest thing. And then he wanted to like pat me and I'm like, I don't want anyone
don't
touching
touch
me right
me.
Now. Yes. So it's like, yeah,
I
all those
it.
Fun memories.
When I have a cold, I don't want anybody touching me. So I can't imagine pushing a human being out. I just, yeah, you were way tougher.
Yes.
But afterwards, like, right, so like fast forward past the birth of that first child or any child, and afterward, you know, there's a 6-week period, you know, doctors usually recommend 6 weeks where you can't have sex just because of, you know, the woman's body is recovering. from the trauma of childbirth. Sometimes it's a longer period of that if there's been any kind of tearing or if there's been any kind of other circumstances.
Absolutely.
I think maybe with C-sections it could be even longer.
Yes.
6 weeks, though, is a long time. And often there hasn't been a lot of frequency leading up to the birth itself because, you know, there's a lot going on with the mom's body. And so by this point, there can be a lot of stress. There's physical exhaustion usually. Mm-hmm. Both mom and dad are just physically exhausted. For, you know, a lot of the men I've talked to, and I can, you know, relate to this, you're physically exhausted, you're stressed. Most men view sex as their primary form of stress relief, that, you know, it helps them de-stress. And now you're more stressed than you've ever been, and you can't do the one thing that removes stress, and that creates more stress. And if you're not careful in that period of waiting, there can be some tension and some, you know, you can say and do things that are going to potentially be hurtful to one another that's going to add to the stress.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember those days. And even with the stress, there's exhaustion, which even adds a whole other level.
Oh, yeah, you're worn out.
We're just like so worn out. And it really is those early days after you have a baby, it's this kind of exhaustion that is just unlike anything I've ever experienced. And you're barely kind of functioning and you're just trying to make it together. And like Dave said, you know, sex is something that can really bring a couple together unlike anything else. But really for that 6 weeks or even longer, you can't do that. And what you can do, though, is really give each other a lot of extra understanding, compassion, and just room to kind of get the sleep that you need, if possible, taking turns, giving each other time to get sleep, but also just having a lot of understanding and talking through these feelings. And I will say this, I think sometimes when you have to go without sex for a while, especially for women, it can make it almost, you can develop some anxiety about when you will make love again. And this is a very common issue. Yeah. And I was reminded of this at a conference that we did years ago. And one of the pastor's wives at that church was sharing her own experience about this. And I just thought it was, the way she shared it was so true. She said that she had to wait the 6 weeks and she was feeling exhausted, obviously, but also she started feeling very uneasy about her body because your body changes after having kids. And she said she started building up that moment when they would make love again in her mind and not in a favorable way. It wasn't like, I can't wait. It was like, I don't want to do that. Like it's worrying that she wasn't, that he wouldn't like it anymore, that she wouldn't like it anymore, that it wouldn't feel right and that he would be disappointed in her body. And so she really built up this huge like place. It just always brought her anxiety whenever she would think about it. And so it came that time when she was given kind of the clearance from the doctor and her husband knew too. And so he's like all excited. And she said, I literally had a panic attack. And she said, I just could not bring myself to do it. So then she waited week after week.
Oh man, that poor husband.
And her husband, he was so gentle with her. And he was like, please, I just want to be with you. And she said, she was like, I just can't yet. And I think it was an additional month until one day she was talking to her girlfriend about it. And her friend was like, listen, you've got to do this. Like you're making it worse the longer that you wait and you're building it up to be this big bad thing when really it's a beautiful thing. And the longer you wait, the more anxiety, you know, that you're going to have. And so finally she was like, okay, I'm going to do this. They made love. And she said it was like very de-stressing for her. It was also a way to kind of get over that anxiety for her. And she said, and then she started, you know, having sex more with her husband. And she said, the more that we did it, the more I wanted it. And I felt more connected to him. And it was like, you know, she overcame that anxiety when it came to it. And so I think sometimes we can build up things in our mind, you know, things are not going to be the same after you have kids. It's a beautiful blessing, but some things are going to change. You know, you're going to have a child in the house now. And maybe if you have multiple kids, it's multiple children. Your schedules have to change a bit. Your sleep patterns are changing. And, you know, it can be really hard to even sometimes find time for sex. But I want to just encourage you and say, we have to make the time. Like we make time for the things that are important to us. And so once you are given, you know, the doctor's clearance to go ahead and make love, I would encourage you to do that as soon as possible. But I also want to say to the husbands, don't go to your wife and be like, it's about time, let's do this, right, and like put pressure on her. Just lovingly go to her and say, you know, I have missed you. I'm so glad we get to do this. Let's take things slowly, because sometimes it can be, and we're going to be extremely honest on, you know, with this, it can be painful sometimes that first time, especially if you've had an episiotomy where there has been stitches down there. And so you got to take it slow. But even though you have to take it slow, doesn't mean you don't do it at all. So I'd encourage you, take things slowly, but get there.
This is good advice. We're gonna also talk about just sex after kids longer term, not just kind of the 6 week window,
but
longer term. I'm gonna just talk about serving each other within that 6 week window before we jump fast forward into ahead. And like, husbands, listen, I'm gonna challenge you, do everything you can to selflessly serve your wife during that 6 week period where she's gonna have a lot of different emotions. Her mind, her body, everything has just been through like this traumatic situation essentially. And now there's this joyous child, of course, but there's a lot that she's going through mentally, emotionally. You know, Ashley went through a bout of postpartum depression mm-hmm. after one of our kids. You need to be sensitive to everything that your wife is saying and is doing, and just serve her. I mean, serve her and ask nothing in return for as long as you can. I mean, just in general, I think that's good advice. But especially during those 6 weeks, the things that you say and do will matter more. They will carry more weight during that period of time than maybe any other. Now, you know, for the moms, you know, and I'm not get graphic or anything else, but if there's a long period of time, just in general, whether it's after having a kid or some other issue where there's a long period of time where intercourse itself like can't happen,
right?
Like I would challenge the mom, the wife, to, you know, to be open to like sexual play, to other forms of kind of sexual contact that are going to, you know, bring pleasure to your husband and connection to the two of you, even in that period where you physically can't. You guys can use your imaginations. You know, I'm not going to like list out sex acts or anything. But the bottom line is, sex is more than just the act of intercourse.
Right.
And I think that if you'll make it a priority to stay connected in that way, even if there are medical or other reasons why for a period you might not be able to have
intercourse. Yes.
There's still ways to have sexual intimacy and pleasure. And so make those a priority and don't just say, okay, well, we can't do X.
Don't touch
right
me
now.
For 6 weeks.
Right. So that means we're not going to touch each other. It means we're not going to have any pleasure. We're not going to have any connection in that way. But use your imagination.
Yeah.
Be innovative and make it a priority. And then that's going to make it less awkward when you do finally get to have intercourse again, because there hasn't been this massive buildup where you haven't even touched each other or looked at each other. You've stayed connected physically and even sexually in a way.
Right.
And so it's going to be natural.
It will be. And I just want to make this side point as well. You know, if you're not willing to connect with affection and, like Dave said, in ways that are sexual but are not necessarily intercourse, I think that, you know, sometimes it can lead us to temptation. So really watch yourselves during this time to not fall into bad habits like using pornography to meet your own sexual needs or fantasizing about somebody else. I mean, you really need to watch it, because you can be so exhausted and feeling a little disconnected. I mean, here you've made a baby.
Right.
But you can feel disconnected still.
Yeah, you're
and
both
vulnerable. So you have to
vulnerable.
Be careful. Yes.
You're both really vulnerable to lots of things. And I think especially for the guy, you can be vulnerable to some real sexual temptation where there's on-demand pornography and all these things where it can lead you quickly down a path of sin that can have long-term damaging impact in your marriage. And I've talked
whole episodes on this.
Yeah, yes. My own past struggles with pornography. And I remember the dark grip that had in my mind, you know, really stretching back to my teenage years. And it can really just be poisonous to a marriage. So we talk about it every chance we get because we know it's such a big issue. But the best thing you can do for your marriage, one of the best things you can do to protect your marriage, is to stay away from porn. You know, just it is not going to meet any need. It's only going to invite poison into the relationship.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it has saved its members on average $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And so how it works, it monitors everything you're spending. It gives you a quick snapshot of where the money's going when it feels like money's flying out the windows like it does at our house sometimes. It helps you identify where it's going, and specifically those ongoing subscriptions. Maybe you signed up for a free trial, forgot to cancel it. Next thing you know, you're being charged $10 a month for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And it cancels that stuff for you.
And we want to save you money too, because you guys, life is expensive. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/naked. That's rocketmoney.com/NAKED. rocketmoney.com/naked.
I know that you appreciate learning because you're listening to this podcast right now to learn and grow in your marriage, and props to you for that. So I want to give you another opportunity to learn. Our friends at Hillsdale College so believe in equipping our culture with truths related to history, economics, faith, citizenship. They're offering their college level courses, some of their college level courses, completely free. I encourage you to check out, to start with, the course on ancient Christianity, which is going to give you a really solid base in understanding what was happening culturally and historically during the early years of the church. It's really, really powerful, and the teaching is world class. You can find out all about it at hillsdale.edu/naked to enroll. And I'm telling you guys, there's no cost. This is free college level education, and it's going to benefit your life. So it's hillsdale.edu/naked to register. Check them out at hillsdale.edu/naked and start learning today.
So just kind of getting practical here, you know, before we again jump ahead to kind of just life after having the babies and you're trying to have a good sex life with kids in the house. But just for those people who are maybe having a first child or maybe they're having another child. Mm-hmm. Sweetie, you've had 4 babies. Is it different? Is it physically different? Does it feel different? Is the whole process of sex different after having a baby? Like what's that like?
Oh, it is different, especially in the beginning. And just practically speaking, and I'm just extremely honest on here. So for those that you don't want to hear honesty, I'm sorry. But I feel like we have to be honest if we're going to really get to the root of what we're dealing with. And so, you know, just practically speaking, if you have a vaginal birth, things are loose down there, let's be honest. And it's going to take a while for things to get back to normal. And the truth of the matter is things get more back to normal when you're nursing. It can kind of help to draw on the uterus and make things tighten up. But many people don't nurse. And so sometimes that takes a little longer. And when you are nursing, you know, it can cause a lot of issues. I mean, you're basically, like, your breasts all of a sudden are working breasts, right? Like, it's not just...
They're not just for
they're
show.
They're not just beautiful, okay?
They're not just...
And so, I mean, we're just being super honest. So it's like... It's just, it takes a lot from you. I mean, it takes a lot from you. With my first child, with our first child, Cooper, he was like, nursing was so hard. And I ended up having to give it up after 3 months of just trying my very best. So then I'm trying to do that. And then you're just physically, you know, it sometimes can hurt you because you're filling up with milk and then you're pouring out milk.
It was the hardest one, right?
It was
all
so
the
hard.
Other ones got easier, but with
yes,
him.
Yes, it was so hard. So I ended up having to not do it after 3 months. And then I felt very guilty about it, which I think sometimes we just do to ourselves. We make ourselves feel guilty when we don't need to do that. You know, God's not looking and pointing his finger at you just because you had to give up nursing, right? It's like, do what you can do and know that you're going to get through this, right? And so with Cooper, we dealt with
all
that.
And he's like our healthiest kid, by the way.
He is so healthy.
So like you breastfed the other ones way longer.
Like for a year.
But Cooper's the one that never gets sick, never has allergies, you know, so.
Ironic, right? Please don't write me about breastfeeding, okay? I just want to say that right now.
Yeah, we're for it.
We are for it. But I just want to say there's a lot of grace coming from us on this issue.
Yeah, so I think one of the babies tried to latch on to me once. I kind of do have man boobs, and I became even more self-conscious.
That is not true.
One of them tried to latch onto my furry nipple.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. No, so back to after having a baby. So you have, if you're nursing, even if you're not nursing, things are a little different there. And then, you know, it can be just feeling different, you know, down there, especially if you had, I mentioned earlier, an episiotomy, there can be stitching. I've had some friends where it was so bad that they had to wait longer because there was just major trauma. And so you have to give yourself, this is talking specifically to, you know, the married moms that are listening, you have to give yourself a lot of grace too. Because I think that, you know, when after that period of waiting, we can have sex and then it feels different. And then all of a sudden we get sad because we're like, oh, it's just never going to be the same. You know, my body's never going to be the same. It's never going to feel the same. And then I'm sure my husband doesn't look at me the same way. And we just need to give ourselves some grace and know that, yes, things are a little different, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It's good, you know, and you're growing together. And now you have this child or maybe multiple children in your home, and that's a beautiful thing. And so we need to just really, I think, not be so hard on ourselves, but really give ourselves grace. Because what I find is when I'm hard on myself, especially when it comes to my body or just feeling overwhelmed, it totally kills my sex drive. And so I really have to free my mind of that. And sometimes it takes me praying. I mean, there's been times I've literally prayed, you know, God, help me to embrace, you know, my sex with my husband. Help this to this connection to enhance our marriage. I think sometimes people think I could never pray about, you know, sex, like that is so off limits, but God created sex.
Man, God wants to hear.
It is absolutely on the table for prayer, you know?
And discussion and everything else.
Right, like, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think a lot of times, a lot of our sexual frustrations come because of isolation. We don't talk about it. We don't pray about it. We don't ever deal with it. And so that's one of the big points of this podcast and our book, The Naked Marriage, as well, is to just help spark these healthy conversations.
Right.
And so, you know, thank you, by the way, for those who've given great feedback on the book. The audio book is out now, so you
can
take your smartphone you're listening on and go to iTunes or Audible and download it now. But moving ahead to what about when you have kids that are a little bit older? All right, so like fast forward and for the last part of this episode, we're maybe done having babies. Like, for, you know, Ashley and me, we're done having babies, at least biologically. You know, I got the snip. It's been my only time in stirrups, which was...
you guys are hearing way more about us than you ever wanted to
hear. Which was its own traumatic situation. Not to get sidetracked, but I was just so hoping I wouldn't recognize anybody while I'm in stirrups.
Which
totally
I'm so, let
naked.
Me just say, I'm so glad you got to experience stirrups.
No,
I feel closer to you because we've both experienced stirrups.
Yeah, it was bonding.
It's bonding.
Bonding wasn't what I was thinking about, though, when I was exposed and, you know, having like two dudes in there. But then I was like, well, at least there aren't any women in here and at least I don't know anybody. And then this female nurse walks in and says, oh my gosh, Pastor Dave. You know, and she like went to my church and she so wanted to talk it up. She just wanted to talk about, like, you know, lots of things. And I was... friendly, but it was the most awkward conversation I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
So that's a totally different issue. Like, this has become therapy for me now. I'm just talking to you guys about traumatic experiences I've had.
That's right.
But this isn't about us. This is about you. And this is about you having a great marriage and a great sex life after kids. So I was saying all that just to say, you know, we've been done having kids for a while now. Our youngest is 4. But with kids in the house, we've got kids from 13, almost 14 years old, all the way down to 4. And so it's a loud house. There's a lot going on. How do you kind of get the kids out of the way to have that mommy, daddy alone time? And this takes some creativity. This takes some real creativity.
It does. And I know for us, I think our older ones have figured this out, but we'll be like, mom and dad are going to get ready. And that's just what I say. We've said that literally for years. And so now Cooper, like, I know he knows. And he's just like, gosh.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, and I think they know to stay away because they walked in on us once, right?
On vacation. When our lock didn't work right. Yeah.
We were in the kids' room because it's the only place we could go.
Yeah, because the baby was sleeping in our room.
We climbed into a twin bed and
his dream.
Just having the highlight of my vacation. And in walks two of our sons, Cooper and Connor, who were like 12 and 10 at the time. And it was just so awkward. You know, like
I
turn around and Cooper's looking at me and he goes, Dad? And I'm like, hey, buddy. And then he's like, why did you have to do it in my bed?
And I'm hiding meanwhile.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't even think they saw me. They knew something was like...
They knew something was going on. So I
did
jump out wrapped in a sheet like a toga and have a real heart-to-heart with the sons. That was an awkward moment. But
now they know.
They know to stay away now. They know to knock loudly.
Or announce yourself. Like Cooper will announce himself.
I'm outside your door.
I am... nearing the master bedroom.
I do not want to accidentally see or hear anything.
No, but you know, it is hard, because especially with little ones, because they don't understand. And honestly, you can't leave them alone for very long. I mean, depending on their age, you want them to be safe. And I know for us, like when they were very young, we had our first two really close together. I am a huge fan of a swing that you can plug into the wall that will go on its own and you can buckle them in.
Oh,
okay?
Those baby swings
It'll give you like 20 minutes, play the music for them, put on some baby Einstein, whatever it is, if they even still make that, because that was like years ago. But like, the swing was our saving grace, wasn't it, sweetie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Because I knew they were safe.
Yeah. And then later, like the bouncer thing.
The bouncer, yes. The jumparoo.
I don't even know if they make this stuff anymore. Maybe all this has been recalled.
I think they do.
For safety issues. I don't know. They're changing over baby stuff so fast that I was in a baby store recently for something random. And I'm like, I don't recognize any of this stuff. Like every year, they're like, no, nothing from the past works anymore. Nothing. Burn it all.
Yes.
It's not safe. But somehow our kids, you know, survived.
And I want to say this too. Absolutely make sure your children are safe. And one thing too is, especially for women, and I'm sure for men too, I can't speak to that. Maybe Dave can. But if I feel like my kids are going to be unsafe, I cannot get in the mood because it's an anxious point for me because I want to make sure they're not going to hurt themselves.
And I'm always like, they're fine. They're
He's
fine.
Like,
they're
fine.
They were playing with matches and razor blades.
No,
they're fine.
No,
they're,
no.
Because as a guy, like you're way better at managing.
Well, I think it's just part of being a mom. You know, you just want to make sure that everybody's safe and okay. And so what I would tell you to do is, either you could have them on the swing in a corner of the room where they're not looking at you, it's facing the wall and you know they're safe. Or these days they have awesome like video monitors. And so if they're in their room taking a nap, at least you know you can look in on them, you can hear everything. So do whatever it is, it's going to remove anxiety and is going to make sure the children are safe. But the bottom line is make it happen, make it a priority.
You got to make it a priority.
And that's what you just have to do what you have to do to make the conditions favorable for love.
And it's never going to be perfect. If you are one of these people that waits for perfect conditions, you're never going to have sex ever again. And you're probably never going to do anything ever again because conditions are never perfect.
Right.
So don't say like, well, the kids have to be completely out of the house and, you know, and
that
we have to.
That would be long.
Yeah, man. No, you're going to. You are getting a divorce if you start thinking that way. You've got to prioritize.
Well, it's just gonna
and your sex life
negatively affect everything.
Yeah.
And you want to have that connection.
I think about the pioneers, man. Pioneer days, there was like one family bed, and somehow mom and dad.
I don't understand that.
We're making love, making babies, having 8 or 9 kids.
That is the truth.
And somehow they're all like sleeping in the same bed. Now that's weird. But I'm just saying,
just not
those people. They made it work, is what I'm saying. They made it work. And so you guys have a lock on your door and your own bedroom. You got a DVD, Netflix. I'm like old. I'm talking about you. You've got you've got the VHS and a record player and. You know, you've got things to entertain your children, so...
I'm sorry, I can't help it. all
my pop culture references
so
are like from the 80s. Yeah, so...
Oh, millennials, I'm so sorry that we're so out of touch.
Yeah, they're not even millennials. They're like whatever's after that. I'm like Generation Y.
I have no
Z.
idea. Yeah, I know. I don't know, but yes. Bottom line is, there are ways. We're in times where there are ways... to find time to get together, to make love, and to make it a priority.
Make it a priority.
And you know, if you have some anxiety about this, talk to your spouse about it. I mean, just be honest. I think we have the tendency to want to shut down and not talk at all whenever we have these fears and we have these thoughts or we feel inadequate or we, you know, are very insecure about our body. We tend to shut down. And what that tells our spouse is we don't want to be around them or we don't want to talk to them or we don't want to, you know, make love to them. And that's really hurtful. And so need to be open and honest because, you know, ladies, if you're just totally like not talking to your husband and trying to cover up your body all the time, he thinks she doesn't want me. But really how you're feeling is I don't want him to see me because I feel inadequate. So what you need to do instead is talk to him. And I'm telling you, so many times we talk to a lot of couples, the men, they really just want you. They know that, you know, after having a baby, your body goes through changes. And I guarantee your man's not nitpicking your body. He just wants you.
He just wants you, ladies.
Beautiful thing. And I think that when we want to cover up and wait till the perfect moment, till we feel like everything's back in place after having babies, we're going to be very disappointed and we're probably not going to come together because things do change. But we need to embrace ourselves as we are and embrace our spouse as they are and come together and enjoy the beautiful gift of sex.
Mm, man, that's ending on a high note. I know that you might be thinking like, well, my husband or my wife, they don't want to have sex with me. I don't know if it's because of the kids or for something else. We're planning to do a future episode specifically focused on what do you do when one spouse just does not want to have sex. And we get a lot of messages about
that.
We do,
on both sides.
Yeah, it's not just men, it's not just women. It's a huge issue and you are not alone. And this is a really, really important topic that we're going to address specifically. You know, one resource that can help you start having the conversations other than that upcoming podcast episode is our book, The Naked Marriage.
Yes.
Thank you so much for those who've read it, who've left reviews on Amazon. And like I said earlier in the podcast, it is now available as an audiobook. So if you like listening to Ashley and I be silly and talk about marriage and talk about serious stuff too, then we had so much fun narrating this book together. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Audible, which is part of Amazon. You can go to nakedmarriagebook.com and you can get resources related to it there as well.
Yes. So stay tuned for further episodes about this issue. If maybe it's been a long time since you had kids and for some reason one or both of you have no desire, we're going to talk about hormones. We're going to talk about circumstances and really go deep with that. So stay tuned for that. But thank you guys so much for listening today, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.